Did you read in the gospel that Joseph of Arimathea came to get the body of Jesus and to put it in his own new tomb? And did you read that the members of the Sanhedrin and the friends of his, of the priests, came to him and really castigated him for it? Because why are you putting that imposter in your tomb? Why are you saying that what he's done is okay? Why did you put him in your tomb? And Joseph said, it's all right, it's just for the weekend. Come on. It's one of those you catch as it goes along. Just for the weekend. And that's the Easter story, isn't it? Would you pray with me, please? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. And so we come this morning incapable of taking in all that we're talking about, incapable of feeling all that we've sung about, because what you've done is so much greater and deeper and farther than our minds can take in. The eternal God died for us, defeated death for us, and rose again. We thank you. And, O Lord, we pray that you'll help us to take that reality, that truth, that wonder into our daily lives. Help us to be able to share a sense of hope with people around us, the grocery stores and the gas stations and wherever we find ourselves, because everybody carries his or her own pain. They need a word. They need love. And so now this morning we pray that the truth of the resurrection shall creep in upon us, and let us grab that part of it that is for us to carry away this morning. And Father, we do pray for so many people in this community whose hearts are hurting, who are hungry, who are bereaved, who are lonely, and especially our shut-ins who need the sense of comfort and support from you. For those who are sick of our family in the hospital. So, Lord, we pray your blessing upon us as you see our needs are. And so now we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us afresh. And may we go away from this place truly changed in some way, because we have encountered you. For we pray in the name of him who said when you pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward for our morning offering today.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
He's alive. He's alive. Can you imagine how the women were feeling when they carried that message for the first time? Can you imagine the thrill, the ecstasy that must have been rolling within them? They're telling a message that's never been told. They're telling a message that destroys all despair. And here they come, bursting into that darkened room where the disciples were hiding away and saying, "He's alive." And they thought it was idle tales. They were really surprised. The surprise at sunrise. They were in this room filled with despondency, dark attitudes and feelings. There was a pall over the whole room. You could feel the discouragement, the disappointment. And you can feel all those feelings and what was said on the road to Emmaus. Hear it now. We had hoped. All the light had gone out in their lives. And while they were in the depths of despair, God was creating a doxology. While they were looking at 3 days, God was looking at the ages. While they were singing a funeral dirge, God was creating a resurrection song that 21 centuries of people have sung since then. And it wasn't just a resurrection. It wasn't just that Sunday morning that was happening. I can see in my mind's eye Adam and Eve bending over, looking out of heaven and watching it take place. And they look at each other and say, "He told us the truth. He said that He's going to bring one. And Satan would bruise His heel, but He would crush Satan's head. He did it. God's faithful. God told us the truth." And I can see Abraham leaning over too. And Abraham saying, "God said that He would give Sarah and me a son, and through him He would bless all the nations of the earth." Hey, He did it. God's faithful. God can be trusted to keep His word. And Isaiah poked up and said, "I remember when He told me that there was one coming who would be bruised for our transgressions, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace will be upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." And Isaiah looked at Abraham and said, "He's done it. He's faithful. He keeps His word." You see, God was involved in the ages, not just one Sunday morning. The resurrection was just one more stamp that said, "Believe me, I will make things right. Believe me, trust me, I will handle things in your life." Do you have a place where you've hidden away your disappointments, your hurts, your pains? You've tried to forget them. You've covered them up. Let me tell you, there's a tomb that you can put them in. That you can put them in there and let them be gone, because God is faithful. God always has a resurrection. Evil may win the first day and the second day, but the third day belongs to God. Are you out there? I said something exciting. I said something that's true. I said something that the world needs to hear. And you all sit there like your rich aunt died and left all of her money to a pet parakeet. You see, resurrection says you can put your disappointments and your despair, you can put your sins and your iniquities into that tomb, for there's always a resurrection for those who trust Him. Always a new day, always a new beginning, new life for those who trust Him. I'm going to stay down here because I feel so far away from you up there. When we were serving First United Methodist Church in Lexington, there was a woman there who was not very expressive of her emotions. She had deep faith, but she didn't she wasn't real vocal about it. When she was dying, her children gathered around the bed, and they were speaking love words to her. And then her lips started to move. She had not been speaking for some time. And so they thought she was going to give them a parting message. So they leaned over close so they could hear. And they heard her saying, "Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna. Resurrection was happening. She was seeing the reality that God is faithful, that God's word can be trusted. And in that dark hour of walking through the valley of the shadow, she could say, "Hosanna. Look what I'm seeing. Praise be to the Almighty God." Wow. But there's another word in the text that was read this morning for you. And when Fiona was reading it, I love the scripture. But somehow or another, I just wish she'd go on reading and reading and reading. Don't you love it? I remember we were in New York one time and we met Gordon Powell from Australia. And he said to the group of us, he said, "You people in America are strange. Your light switches are upside down. You drive on the wrong side of the road. And you speak with an accent." But did you catch it in the scripture? He said, the first message out of the tomb. The first message out of the tomb was a word for the disciples. He said, "I'm going ahead of you to Galilee." Oh, you say, that's not much. Yes, it is. I'm going ahead of you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be ahead of you. Come on. You get it? I'm ahead of you. You'll never go anywhere where I've not preceded you and prepared the way for you and prepared the resources for you. I'm going ahead of you. Marvelous promise. And to whom did he give those words? People like you and me. There was John, and John stayed with him at the cross. John went with him all the way, but he was the only disciple who did. There was Peter, who denied him. There was Thomas, who said, "I won't believe a word of this unless I put my fingers in the nail prints." There was Philip and Nathaniel and others who had deserted him. That doesn't sound like a very trustworthy bunch to put your hopes on, does it? Deserters, deniers, failures. And Jesus comes out of the tomb and the first message is to those guys and says, "I'm going ahead of you. I want you to meet me there. I'm going ahead of you. You're my guys. Yes, you failed. Yes, you sinned. Yes, you deserted me. But you're still my guys. And I've got dreams for you. Because you see, Jesus took the sins of desertion into the tomb with him. Jesus took the sins of denial into the tomb with him. Jesus took all the sins of those disciples into the tomb with him. Are you with me? And he left them there when he came out. He left them there when he came out. And he came out to a new day. And he said, boys, we've got a kingdom to build. And you're my people. And he's going to build it on deniers, deserters, and doubters. Wow. That puts me in the crowd. Says, I don't have to be some majestic somebody, plaster saint. He knows me as I am. And he's already taken my sins into the tomb. And he'll never bring them out again. And everybody said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's the message of the resurrection. It's not just a day. It is part of the whole working of God from eternity, saying to us, I am faithful. You can trust me. Have you got something that needs to be put in the tomb today? Disappointment? Fear about tomorrow? A job that you don't know if you can really carry off? Regrets that you've never really gotten over? I'm telling you, there's a tomb that you can put them in. And Jesus will leave them there. And Jesus will bring you out to a new day. When we were in New York and when we met Gordon Powell, we also met a couple who had begun the young adult small group ministry at Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. They had also been part of the leaders in creating the small group movement back in the 60s and 70s that really spread across the country. And they did a magnificent piece of work with young adults there in that church. And then they retired. And the pastor of that church shared about how Mary was one of those strong individuals and gracious. She was what I call a velvet brick. Just so smooth on the outside, but strong on the inside. And she, after they retired, they moved to New Hampshire and attended a small church. But naturally, they began to build small groups in that little church. And one Wednesday evening, after they had completed the services, they were going back home. And Harold fell over on the steering wheel and died. The car ran over an embankment and stopped against a little tree. And Mary said, I looked at myself and I wasn't hurt badly. And I looked at him and I knew he was dead. So she took his head and placed it on the front seat. And she got out of the car to go up to hail some help. And as she was leaving, she said, God, It's been such a good life together. And now it's over. Our marriage and our ministry together is over. Now, God, please show me what the next phase of my life is going to be. Please show me what the next phase is going to be. Because you see, with Jesus Christ, every end is a new beginning. Do you hear that? Every end is a new beginning. Please, Lord. You see, she knew it wasn't over. She knew out of the tomb of her sorrow could come new life. Out of the tomb of her loss could come new life. And it did. There's a song in a Methodist hymnal. It's not been there too many years. It's on page 707. I don't think you have them in here. I think I've got it. In the bulb, there's a flower. In the seed, an apple tree. In cocoons, a hidden promise. Butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. I want you to listen to it and hear the words. It's called the Hymn of Promise.
There is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season. Something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future. What it holds, a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
See.
creation is saying to us, God is faithful. God can be trusted. And there's a tune that we can place all those negative things of our lives, because every end has a new beginning when God is involved. I'm going to give you a line. Write it on the refrigerator, on your iPad, or wherever you want to put it, where you can see it. Nothing will come to you that has not first passed through the heart of God. And passing through God's heart, it's drenched with love. That whatever God allows to come into your life has first gone through His heart. And God is faithful. We can trust Him. We thank You, Father. We're only catching glimpses of it, but You are faithful as sunrise. You're as faithful as gravity. You're as faithful as unconditional love. And so we pray that as we go from this place this morning, we shall go with joy, because even death cannot conquer us. In Jesus' name, amen.